Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and I am pleased to be able to be talking today with Laura Berry and Colleen Yackel of the Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence. How are you doing today?
Good.
So great to be able to have you. And the Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence has been one of 19 domestic violence coalitions that's been part of an initiative for going on 3 years now called Delta PrEP, where different states have been involved in preparing to be able to do primary prevention of domestic violence work. And Laura, you've been part of this, right?
I have been.
Why don't you talk about some of what you've been doing in Indiana, helping advance primary prevention of domestic violence?
I think one of our greatest initiatives has been the adoption of Heather's Law, or Senate Enrollment Act 316, which was legislation that requires our Indiana Department of Education to identify model curricula and policies for schools related to teen dating violence and healthy relationships.
Obviously, you were involved in the efforts to get that passed. And then once it was passed, in some ways, that's when the real work began to do prevention work. What type of activities did you do?
After the legislation passed, the coalition was instrumental in working with the Department of Education to create a toolkit, implementation strategies, starting to take a look at sample curricula to be used within the school system. And then developed what we call, and is on our website, a toolkit for advocates and local community leaders to use to encourage their school systems to adopt this healthy relationship curriculum and policies within their school districts.
You know, what I love about the way that you're doing this is that while it's a teen dating violence prevention, you're framed it as about healthy relationships.
For us in Indiana, just talking about teen dating relationships, we know it's more than just that, that it is about healthy relationships, preventing future violence, and we were trying to really take a broader approach.
Laura, can you describe a few things that one would find inside this toolkit?
The toolkit had strategies on different methods of encouraging advocates to what I'll call sell or upsell to their schools of why this curricula is important to use, sample policies that the school would implement if they encounter violent behavior among youth, protective places for victims to be able to talk about their experience, provide resources. Colleen worked heavily on that toolkit almost solely, so she could probably speak to a few of the other items.
Like most other states, Indiana is kind of a local control state. So we got the legislation passed, but it mandated action on the part of our Department of Education to identify model curricula and policies, but didn't really require implementation at the community level of those recommendations. We've worked from sort of the top down, working with our General Assembly to get the legislation accomplished, then really realized we've got to then continue to work at the grassroots level from the bottom up to support local implementation. And we recognize we're doing that in an environment where there are lots of competing sort of social causes and problems. We recognize that we're working with administrators and with teachers who have overextended schedules. So we wanted to do everything we could to do the legwork to support local programs in going to their schools, providing them with valuable statistics from Indiana and also community-based statistics about sort of the prevalence and impact of teen dating violence, and really to connect that to other negative social educational outcomes so that advocates could go in and really demonstrate this is happening in our community. It's having these negative impacts on our students. And we all kind of have a responsibility to work together to create healthy educational environments where young people in Indiana can thrive. It's recognizing at the outset that we're working with folks. Advocates and educators, I think, are similar in a lot of ways in that we want to do really good work and we're overextended with limited resources. So we just wanted to address those gaps to the best of our ability by providing talking points, addressing barriers, you know, and really making those connections to positive educational and social outcomes.
You've developed a toolkit that answers one of those questions that is persistent for dating violence prevention educators throughout the country, and that's how do we find ways to really be able to get into the schools, work with the schools, where we know we can reach young people?
Of For us, I think our most successful prevention work has unfolded in the context of partners. So we have just really done exciting work with our Indiana Department of Education. Their process for identifying model curricula has been so thoughtful and thorough. So that's been exciting. But I think early prevention efforts in the state, advocates, our goal in terms of what we understood success as in prevention was this getting in business. This we need to, like we were trying to infiltrate schools or trying to get in with this message. We still think that that individual level education is really important, so we're still trying to get in. But at the end of the day, we leave as advocates, and if successful culture change and prevention is going to be accomplished, we have to do that collaboratively with the schools. So we've really tried to disarm any sort of competitive environment and really tried to support people in saying, how can we work together to support outcomes that are good for all of us? So working with programs to also address policy and think about prevention, successful prevention is sort of organizational change. And how do we accomplish that collaboratively so that at the end of the day, when the advocates leave after conducting, X number of educational sessions within the school, that change sort of sticks and is really in the air?
You know, that's so important because as we know that, education for the students in the curricula is just one piece, and that fundamentally it's about, as you described, that environment. To change the environment takes an environment to be able to do that, and by having the policy in place and building the collaborative support, it sounds like it's been a great opportunity. Colleen, can you just share some of the lessons that you've learned in these last several years as you've been working with this policy, working on developing the toolkit, and helping support local communities and organizations to be able to develop teen dating violence prevention work?
So this has been a process of learning that has unfolded for us. Our success has been unexpected, and we've learned at each stage of the game by the barrier that we next ran into what we needed to do next. So thinking about implementation, but then thinking in order to do this well to change culture, we have to foster capacity at the community level. So we've done training and worked with local communities to develop partnerships with their schools. The next step that we're working on that we're really excited about to continue to promote the value for local communities to adopt curriculum policies is we got funding from the Verizon Wireless Foundation to do a social learning campaign. We're planning to recruit young people from around the state to create the social marketing campaign that will be addressed towards decision makers. Rather than talking peer-to-peer about their experience, we want young people to talk to principals and to legislators and to parents and to teachers saying, this is what's going on in our environment. We need those of you in positions of power who create and maintain these environments to take action to create school and educational settings that are safe and healthy.
Very exciting, and I know that over at Prevent Connect, we look forward to having another interview where we can actually, once when you get ready to release the social marketing campaign, and have all of us throughout the country be able to learn from the work that you're doing there in Indiana. That's so important, having young people as the agents of change and not just being the recipients of who receive our education services.
We're excited by that. We just feel like it's appropriate. When our target audience, largely around our prevention work, has been young people, we need them to be involved in this conversation, and I'm going to do my level best not to micromanage their messaging and to really let them speak to their own experience. And I think that'll be the most compelling argument that we can make with decision makers.
And this toolkit is available on their website. It will, of course, be found on Prevent Connect, or you can get it at www.icadvinc.org. And so I want to encourage people to visit their website and learn more about their prevention activities. Really want to thank both of you for joining me today and to talk. Is there any last words that you want to give, Laura, about the work you've done?
Other than to say Indiana is really excited that we're moving forward with these efforts and that everybody, including the Department of Education, school communities, and advocates across the state are really on board and taking this prevention effort seriously, because we know we need to get in front of the problem. While we've been doing this work for 20-plus years, we don't seem to have made a significant reduction in the number of homicides or victims that we're seeing on a daily basis. So we in Indiana are finally excited to be able to get this opportunity to reach the youth and really send that message about prevention.
And I know that Indiana, as I said, was one of the 19 states that was part of the CDC Foundation and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's Delta PrEP initiative, which helps support different states in being able to do primary prevention of domestic violence within their states. So thank you, Colleen, and thank you, Laura, for joining me today. I look forward to learning more about the work that you're doing in Indiana. I'm really excited about the social marketing campaign that will be coming soon.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.